I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Adam House. He is the founder of House of Bricks. It's a comprehensive platform for entrepreneurs that integrates advisory, community, and academy. Adam is a 7-time entrepreneur with 3 high multiple exits, a podcast host, and a former, check this out, a former pro basketball player. This is going to be interesting. Adam, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to the conversation.
So, pro basketball, I got to start there. What's the story there?
Oh, man, if we're going to start there, it's just going to get even more and more interesting. But it's one of my favorite stories to tell. So as you mentioned, I'm a 7-time founder. After my second exit, I was 32 years old and had been a CEO since I was 19. And my wife was like, "Adam, if you don't do something you love, you're going to regret it the rest of your life." So I was living in Boston at the time. Everyone there is doing Ironmans and triathlons. So I'm looking at the training schedule. I was an athlete and high school and a year in college, and you know, biking no problem, running no problem, got in the pool, swam down and back, and I was like, screw this, I'm a land animal. So looking at the amount of effort and training it would take, I played basketball in high school, a year of college, I was like, I bet I could make some minor league basketball team somewhere. And she was like, yeah, whatever keeps you out of the house. So long story short, ended up hiring a strength coach, conditioning coach, and trained for 6 months, got invited to a combine in Dayton, Ohio with 34. I call them kids. These were 21, 22 year old, you know, D1 mid-major guys.
Yeah. Some and you
played in Europe.
You're 32.
32 years old at the time, and been behind a desk for, you know, 13 years. I mean, I was in pretty good shape, but not playing organized basketball for that long. But got invited to the combine. Coach saw something he liked and invited me out to the training camp in Rochester, New York. Ended up making the team. So I called my wife. I said, "Great news, I made the team. The bad news is you're moving from the new house that you just renovated in Brookline for the last 6 months to Rochester, New York in December." So she was a trooper. Ended up playing a year on the team. And the interesting part about that story as well is a couple guys on the team were like, "Hey, who is this guy? He's got no basketball resume." And they looked me up online, saw I had a tech company. So word got out to the owner and he calls me and he's like, "Adam, what are you doing all day? Practice is only 2 hours." I was like, "Well, I have 3 sons, you know, we go to the park, whatever." And he's like, "Why don't you come in and help me run the team?" So they made me CEO and co-owner of the team. So I was player, co-owner, and CEO. So this was back in 2012. Then I had to grow up and start another business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the reason I was asking about being 32. I mean, you know, sports years are like dog years.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so like 32, I mean, you might as well be collecting Social Security.
Yeah.
From a sports standpoint, that's tough to compete against people 10 years younger.
Well, it ties into my why not philosophy. So a lot of people are looking for their why, and you know, that's great and all, but what I've found is your why really comes through progress. So why not start a business? Why not try to become a professional athlete? And you're either going to do it or not, but the process is what gives you data. And that's the experience that people are looking for.
Yeah. Wait, you know, years ago, I read a book that was at, it was a short book, but it was about how to become a CEO. One of the things it said was every year, take on a new challenge that I forget if it said scares you or just seems like nearly impossible, like learn a new language or, you know, just one of these things, just doing these, setting these outrageous goals to do something different that you'd never done before.
Yeah, I love that.
And that just, so that was your second exit. So you come out of your second exit and you do that, and then you have another five exits after that.
Another exit. So I've started seven companies, three exits, and it's the ones that
Oh.
don't exit and fail, which are make you a real entrepreneur. But my third company, again, kind of following that why not philosophy. So I met a doctor for lunch. He was a non-practicing physician, got connected to him through one of my advisory board members in a previous company. And he's like, Adam, I want to build a healthcare analytics platform that compares, cost per episode of care, provider peer-to-peer performance. And he's like, can you help me do it? And I was like, yeah. I had no tech background, no experience in healthcare, but ended up finding a guy who's actually the video guy for the Rochester Razor Sharks. He built healthcare platforms in South Africa. So ended up bringing him on, and that was the most difficult business I ever did. We started in 2013, did a couple funding rounds, but finally in 2022 it went public on the NASDAQ. So it went from napkin to a NASDAQ, took about 9 years to do it.
Wow. So in your businesses that failed, or I don't know if fail's the right word, but the ones that didn't exit versus the ones that did, do you see a pattern?
Well, that's really one of my skill sets. So every one of my businesses have been in a different industry. So direct marketing, mobile tech, healthcare, training for roofing companies, sales training, and now podcasting. I had a supplement business, but none of them I would say failed. They were just never acquired. So we either dissolved them. But the three that did exit, it's just, you can have the right idea at the wrong time. You can have the right time with the wrong idea, and just getting that inflection point. And I never know when it's going to happen, but I know when it does happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing a lot of chatter about the ChatGPT if they're going to hang in there. They were clearly, the kind of the first to come out with that. And they still have a commanding lead, but people are starting to write their obituary. And time will tell if they're right or not, but it's interesting. They had the right product. And it seems like at the right time, but it's competition stiff, and people are starting to say, hey, there's better, AIs, better businesses. So if keeping it in the context of business, it just seems tough. There's a lot that you have to get aligned at the right time.
Yeah, and knowing when to hit the bid. They could have probably exited the company 12 months ago for a crazy multiple. But in all of my businesses, it was never original idea. I just built a better mousetrap. So being first to market is actually really tough to have an idea that's going to sustain competition and time. So I've always looked at what are some businesses or industries where people are doing things well. And is there a way for me to do it better, faster, and provide more value to the customers?
Interesting. Could you break down one of those? What's
Yeah, Velocity, my mobile technology company. So there was a company called UsableNet. They had been developing mobile websites for about 8 years. And I was going to start creating iPhone apps. And we went and met with a customer, and they were like, hey, we don't want a web an app, but we're looking at this company, UsableNet, and this is how they, build their mobile websites. And the problem is, if you're in an industry for a long time in the tech space, it's very tough for you to adapt because you're turning a much bigger ship, right? And so we were able to come be much more agile, got 15 Fortune 500 companies as clients within 18 months, and we got acquired by Akamai Technologies for close to 30 times revenue. So again, just right time, right place. That one was 18 months idea to exit.
Well, and I think one of the problems that people that have been in the industry for a long time, they have kind of a legacy mindset, and it's hard to break out of that. Well, here's the way you do things. This is the way you do things. And I mean, if we look at the iPhone for certain. Nobody ever envisioned having a phone, a phone without a keyboard, without a physical keyboard. And it took Apple to just kind of look at that differently, and they came from absolutely no background in mobile phones to being for a while the number one smartphone. I think they're now number two, but still they're the only Western company that's in the top five mobile phone makers. And so I think part of what as I'm listening to, part of what I'm hearing is getting stuck in that legacy thought and not being able to see new ways of doing things.
Yeah, and I've used my lack of industry knowledge as a competitive advantage just for that reason, right? I wasn't a doctor. I wasn't an engineer in mobile technology. I didn't have experience in the roofing industry. So I came in with a fresh lens of not being in the industry and doing things in a certain way. So like you said, recognizing those patterns and ways to do things differently to provide more value.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this. So let's say that you're in an industry and you don't want to abandon your business. Do you have any recommendations for how people can introduce disruptive thinking to the way they're doing things so they don't have a new guy passing by?
This is part of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing now with the House of Bricks advisory is, and I didn't in my first company, but second through now, I've always had an advisory board. I believe that wisdom is found in the counsel of many, and getting people that aren't in the boat to help you work on the boat, right? So they're watching what you're doing at a distance and maybe can see things, especially as an entrepreneur. You're doing this 24/7. It's all you think about. Is there objective insight that an advisor can give you to help you think about things differently? And being open to that. It's a challenge for entrepreneurs. It's what makes us great, but we're also very hard-headed. So surrounding myself with those people, I wouldn't be where I am today, without some of those relationships.
Well, kind of a personal story for me on that, very relevant, all the way up to a few minutes before we jumped on Zoom here. Back a few days before Christmas, I took an afternoon and I met with two different people who know me and know my business, and one of them was a marketer. And I just said, and I do marketing, right? But I told him, I said, Eric, I said, I'm doing things that I would never let my clients get away with. And I said, can you just speak into me? Tell me what you see and give me some recommendations. And he asked a bunch of questions, which was great. And then he said, Craig, I think you need to spin up a separate brand that's focused exclusively on wealth managers. Well, I told you when we jumped on Zoom, I was just coming off a call with somebody who literally said, Craig, I'm not going to say the firm that he's with, but he's with a massive firm that everybody's heard of. And he said, Craig, I think I could be a really good source of leads for you. And the only reason I was having that conversation was because Eric kind of refocused me.
Right.
And I mean, literally within from the time I had that conversation with Eric to now, it's 5 weeks, 6 weeks from that shift in focus. I go from that conversation to having what could be a game-changing lead source for my business.
Yeah.
Back to your point of about advisors.
Yeah, 100%. Like it's just we've already said it. You're in the weeds. Someone can see things differently. And I try to do this as an advisor, eat my own dog food. But sometimes when I'm advising other people, I'll hang up and I'm like, I'm not even doing that. So paying that forward and mentoring others, it actually improves your life as well in your business.
Now you mentioned House of Bricks. What is that? What do y'all do?
Well, it's obviously a play on my last name, Adam House. And then we're using the bricks which is a paradox for a basketball player. You don't want to shoot bricks, but the bricks are life's experiences. So you have the choice to either carry them with you and they weigh you down, or you can lay them down and build a strong foundation, turning obstacles into stepping stones. So it started with a podcast, a guy and a mic. And I was the chaplain for the Miami Heat for a little bit when we lived in South Beach back in 2005, 2006. And so I had good relationships with some NBA guys. So I got some great guests, which was good for the podcast. And also being a CEO and having investors. So really good guests. And people started reaching out to me and saying, hey, can you help me with my business? Would you be my advisor? Can you coach? And so started doing business advisory. Then we launched a community on Substack as well. So I never wanted to be a content creator. I never wanted my name in lights, even though now my name is in lights behind me. But I had a moment where, someone was like, hey, you should do keynote speaking. You should write a book. And I was talking to my wife at the time, and she said, I said, I don't want to do this. And she said, well, your story is not about you. It's about how you can inspire other people. So I was like, bam, So, all right, just started, having conversations and really turned into now what's a really helping a lot of founders with raising capital, investor presentations, go-to-market strategy. So really giving back to entrepreneurs and helping them grow and scale their business.
And do you work in certain fields? Are there, certain types of businesses you tend to work with, or just kind of anything?
It seems tech founders gravitate towards me, but I have clients in manufacturing, technology, marketing, mortgage, real estate. Like we were talking about earlier, there's patterns in business and call it a God-given gift, just being able to recognize those patterns and market timing and helping them build enterprise value.
Very cool. Let's talk a little bit about legacy. I think it's easy to just start working. You get up and you think, okay, this is my thing to do. I need to provide for my family. I need to start working. And I think it's easy to lose focus of what you're working towards. And at some point, usually later in life, people start thinking about legacy. How does that factor into your coaching?
Well, it starts with my personal life. Like, I try to be as authentic as I can and who I am and lead others in that way. I feel the best form of leadership is self-leadership. And I was fortunate to make a lot of money at a young age. So I set up donor advised funds and 529s and trusts and all of these things. And I had a moment, probably a decade ago, where it came to me like, there aren't any U-Hauls behind a hearse. So whatever you acquire really requires more of you. You're more time. Okay, you got a boat, you got a house. Like it just requires more and more. And so I came to the point where legacy wasn't really what I wanted to live behind, but leave behind, but really how I wanted to live my life. And you can see potentially the flag back there. My grandfather, he was in World War II. He's a huge impact in my life. He was in the army, came back, became a fireman, became a postman, loved his country, served others, always had a great attitude. And his goal in life was to be able to pay for his own cemetery, funeral. Like that was just, if I can cover that, I won't be a burden on anyone else. But, and so I've always wanted to have a platform to honor him in some way. And over the summer, I think you and I have talked a little bit about this. I had this Ford Raptor. I was living in South Dakota at the time on 36 acres. Made a lot of sense. But I moved back to Birmingham, Michigan. It's the suburbs, trying to parallel park it, fit in parking garages. And one of our missions of the House of Bricks is to empower veterans to transition from the battlefield to the boardroom. So I have this veteran in my community, he's a Green Beret, did 14 tours, and I call him up. I'm like, dude, I'm gonna donate this Ford Raptor. It was made for you. It had the Green Beret logo, Black Ops, all this. And he says, Adam, sell the Raptor, I'll give the money to my unit. I was like, no, we're going to use this raptor as a vehicle to raise awareness for veterans. And a lot of people, when they donate to veterans, it's like, hey, here's this beat up truck that barely works, right? I just want a tax deduction. Here's a piece of junk. This thing's beautiful. And so we launched this initiative called What the Truck over the summer. And it's getting incredible traction on social media. We're going to be at the Kentucky Derby, Miami Air and Sea Show. So if I were to leave anything as a legacy, it's that inspiration for us as a country to honor those that serve and protect us. Like whether you agree with the current president or not, my mission is those that to serve those that were willing to lay down their life for a cause, a country. And so that's the mission of What the Truck, and there'll be a lot more to come on that.
Well, I served in the Marines under two different presidents, and one of the things that's true is you don't get to pick the president other than, at the
Your
voting
vote.
booth. But that's, yeah. No, and that's, I like that. Anybody that's done a career, anybody that's done a career, I don't think I can think of a time when this wouldn't be true. Anybody who's made a career in the military has served under presidents of both parties. And that's one of the neat things, is your job is to show up and defend the nation, defend the Constitution.
Yeah, we're really excited about what we're doing. Like I said, this may be the biggest thing I ever do. And just being able to leave an impact and a legacy outside of just trying to live, live the legacy I want to leave.
So, what would be your advice to others in terms of how they should think about legacy?
Understand that it's not a deathbed decision. People think about what am I leaving behind, but like I said earlier, it's really who you are. And we talk about the brick by brick mentality. Each brick is building on one side or the other. And so, using those bricks as inspiration, to build that foundation. And it's really decision by decision will create and, a lasting legacy.
Wow. Well, Adam, this has been awesome. Thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Thanks for having me, and still love to have you on my podcast as well. I hope your listeners were inspired by this. All of us have a story to tell in the way that only we can tell it, that will impact a specific person at a specific time for the right reasons. So get out there, tell your story, and inspire others.
Yeah, and if I haven't, yeah, we'll chat afterwards, but I absolutely wouldn't be on your podcast, and I appreciate the invitation.
For sure. You're a great host. It's been an honor to be on here.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com, or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.